Second Samuel chapter 1, verse 21 is where we resume. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, King Saul, wicked King Saul, who had been hunting David like an animal for years, is dead. Judgment from God. And along with him was his son, Jonathan, was also killed. Jonathan was a godly man, David's best friend in the Lord. So David hears about their death. And let's begin reading in verse 17. David lamented with this lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son. Also, he bid them teach the children of Judah the use of the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher. And here he goes. The beauty of Israel is slain upon your high places. How are the mighty fallen? And I think, like with many eulogies, David is being very generous to Saul, but not to Jonathan. 20. Tell it not in Gath. Publish it not in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. You mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings, for there the shield of the mighty is vilely cast away, the shield of Saul, as though it had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan both had their share of military victories. But that's all in the past now, and none of it really matters anymore because they're standing before God and they're giving an account. 23. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions. And as I suggested a few minutes ago, I guess this is a typical eulogy. I don't think there were a whole lot of people who thought Saul was as wonderful as David said he was. David is being kind out of respect for Saul's position as the anointed king of Israel, even though he was a lousy one. 24, you daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. You know, if anyone had a score to settle with Saul, it was David. But he doesn't rejoice in Saul's death. He mourns as he instructs the people not to dwell on the bad that Saul did, but on those few good things that he did. He continues, 25, how the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. O Jonathan, you were slain in your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant have you been to me. Your love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war perished? David and Jonathan were close. Very close. A relationship between a husband and a wife who love God is a very close relationship. But Jonathan and David's friendship was even closer. They were best friends in the Lord. Chapter 2. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? Saul is dead. And David feels free to go anywhere in Israel now. His only concern is that God would lead him. We have great freedom as Christians to do many things, but we should still pray for God to show us what he thinks is best. Last part of verse 1. And the Lord said to him, go up. And David said, where shall I go up? And he said, to Hebron. Remember just a few chapters ago in 1 Samuel when Saul inquired of the Lord, looking for information? Remember how God did not answer him? But when David prayed, God answered. The Lord knows our hearts, so he knows who to ignore and who to respond to. Saul did not care about God, but David did. Verse 2. So David went up there, and his two wives also, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite. It is good that David was married to Abigail, who loved God. It was good that David could return to Israel. But it was bad that David had two wives. That is something that God allowed, but it was not his perfect will. 3. And his men that were with him did David bring up, every man with his household. And they dwelled in the cities of Hebron. David did not ditch his outcast friends now that things were better. It is wrong to use someone as sort of a safety valve friend. Talk to them, call them when no one else is around, but ditch them as soon as someone else is around. The Bible says that a friend loves at all times. Verse 4, and the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And so good things are starting to happen for David. God's grace has brought him through some hard times. We should not give up easily on our dreams, especially if they are biblical. God's grace will help us persevere, and if it is God's will, it will happen. Last part of verse 4. And they told David, saying that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul. And David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead and said to them, blessed be you of the Lord, that you have showed this kindness to your Lord, even to Saul, and have buried him. And now the Lord show kindness and truth to you, and I also will repay you this kindness because you have done this thing. Therefore now let your hands be strengthened and be valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them. David commends these Israelites for doing the correct thing. If we do the correct thing, then those who love God, and for sure God himself, will notice and appreciate it. And you know, people want to be appreciated. If people are good, God-fearing people, they're going to have their share of people who don't like them, believe me, in this world. So it's good when they know and are told that someone appreciates them. It's just encouragement. The Bible tells us to encourage one another. Verse 7, therefore now let your hands be strengthened and be valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them. And I suppose David could have said, Saul is dead, I'm your new king, submit. He could have forced them to submit because David really was God's new king. But instead, he commends them for their loyalty to the former king and lets them know that he's available as their new leader. Walking in the Spirit close to God will give you a quiet confidence. You will be comfortable with who you are, whether people jump on your bandwagon or not. Verse 8. But Abner, the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim. Ishbosheth was a weak-kneed, spineless, powerless man, as we will see. He had one thing going for him. He was the only surviving son of King Saul. Abner had been Saul's military leader, and he was a very power-hungry person. He wanted more control, and that's why he wanted Ishbosheth to be king instead of David. David's too strong. You're not going to push David around. Abner can't control David. If you can push a man around, he's no man. If you can manipulate a leader, he's no leader. 9. And made him king over Gilead, and over the Asherites, and over Jezreel, and over Ephraim, and over Benjamin, and over all Israel. I'd like to know how he did that. I guess he just took upon himself the authority. So, Ishbosheth supposedly has become the king over 11 northern tribes of Israel. And again, notice that it was Abner who made him king, not God. Well, that reign is destined for destruction. It's a lost cause. Because it is one ungodly man working for another ungodly man trying to make an ungodly cause succeed. God is not even in the picture. So it will eventually fail. 10. Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel, and he reigned 2 years. Now, you would think a 40-year-old man would have a mind of his own. You would think an adult male of his age would have some courage of conviction, but he did not. Ishbosheth, son of, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel, and he reigned 2 years, but the house of Judah followed David. So there's a division in Israel. There are two kings in what should be one country. Israel will never be what God intends it to be until there's only one leader. And that's because the Bible says a house divided against itself cannot stand.